Page 18, A Dynamic Organization, Divisions and Growth. Catherine Skivers. Note from Catherine Skivers, this excerpt is another part of the history of the California Council of the Blind 50th Anniversary Edition, 1984, by Perry Sundquist. Page 19, it gives a broad picture of the blind organizations, their goals, their objectives, their many changes and struggles, and their future dreams for an organization that respects and works for the blind. As previously mentioned, the history of the California Council of the Blind is intertwined with that of the National Federation of the Blind. A California leader, young professor, Jacobus ten Broeck, founded the National Federation in 1940 upon the urging and with the warm support of his old mentor, Dr. Newell Perry. For many years, Californians, and chiefly Dr. ten Broeck, provided a substantial part of the leadership, both political and in the development of philosophical thought, for the NFB. No social action organization, be it national, regional, or statewide in character, can hope to avoid divergent opinions. Such organizations are the products of strong opinions, strong characters, and forceful personalities. Thus it is with organizations of the blind, since the blind are a normal cross-section of society. The normality of the blind is demonstrated amply by a review of three issues which threatened the very integrity of the CCB. Page 20. And in two cases, the credibility and future of the national organization. During the decade of the 50s, the NFB went through a time of great troubles. Paradoxically, this was at the very time of the Federation's most spectacular growth and achievement. There was the external struggle with the forces of agencies for the blind, hostile to the independent objectives of the blind themselves, and for a time these were almost matched in severity by a wave of internal dissension which preoccupied the Federation for several years. The troubles within the national movement were related in part to the troubles without, for at least a few active members came to resist the hard line adopted by the Federation toward the agencies which oppose Federation tenets and objectives. Whether by reason of professional association or ties of sympathy or simple belief in the rightness of their attitudes, these members dissented from the militant attitude expressed by Dr. ten Broeck in a 1957 convention address on the right of the blind to organize freely and without interference. If the course of events is not altered, if these agencies continue on their present path, it may not be too much to say. Page 21. As one blind man said recently, that either these agencies will ruin the blind, or the blind will ruin these agencies. No struggle can be more intense than the struggle for survival. A deeper source of schism, however, sprang from the very success of the Federation nationally, its rapid rise in affluence and influence. Whereas in the lean years of the movement there had been a dearth of volunteer leaders and office seekers, during the prosperous 50s aspiring leaders sprang up from all sides, some of whom won national office or responsibility, while others found their ambitions frustrated. Reinforcing this source of friction in the movement was a marked difference of personality and temperament among some of those of national prominence, differences which, despite goodwill toward the organization as a whole, became so deep as to be irreconcilable. Finally, there were the quite common frustrations and suspicions aroused in many blind persons by virtue of the very real abuses and inequities which are part of the facts of daily life for the blind. Page 22. A house divided against itself cannot stand, so declared the Federation's president, in calling upon the organization to end the internal dissension which threatened to wreck its public stature, paralyze its program activities, and undo its achievements. The rank-and-file membership represented in convention delegations was reluctant to take strong measures against a minority of its fellows, but in the end recognized the necessity and acted firmly. The cost was high. The total number of state affiliates was temporarily reduced from 47 to 37, and a number of able members withdrew from the organization. It was almost inevitable that the internal strife in the National Federation should lead to similar dissension within the CCB, and so it did. The seeds of discord had been sown in 1953, when Dr. Perry insisted on Robert Campbell as his successor to the CCB presidency. Many members resented this, irrespective of the individual chosen. The situation was especially trying since the 50s were a time of markedly increasing unrest among the blind of California because of the poor level of services provided to the blind, especially in rehabilitation. Page 23. This growing unrest, coupled with dissatisfaction with the attitudes of some regarding the national issues, resulted in a heated race for the council presidency between Bob Campbell and Russ Kletzing in November 1958. Campbell won by the narrowest of margins, but found himself with a newly elected executive committee composed predominantly of those with views in opposition to his own. Hence, Campbell resigned the presidency in March 1959 and was succeeded by Kletzing, who had been elected first vice president just months earlier. This change in presidential leadership of the CCB brought the state organization firmly into support of the programs, practices, and policies espoused by Jacobus Ten Broeck, NFB president. This crisis on the national level had most regrettably escalated into a full-scale campaign for control of the NFB, which was marked on the part of some by personal attacks upon President Ten Broeck's veracity and credibility. Though any brief discussion must of necessity simplify, it can be stated with a certainty that at the heart of the controversy was the question of who should lead the NFB administratively, the president or the executive committee. A small minority supported the view that the executive committee should hold such power. Page 24, the majority of federationists across the country ultimately determined that the president properly should administer the affairs of the NFB between conventions. By 1960, the issue had been decided, and some NFB members chose to withdraw and establish another organization. Editor's note, the American Council of the Blind. In the aftermath of the NFB controversy, which for a time unfortunately engendered bitterness between the parties, a small group of Californians chose to establish themselves as another organization of the blind in California. This organization is now known as the American Council of the Blind of California. The second case of development by crisis occurred in California in the mid-60s and was a crisis exclusive to California, though the issue involved is a matter of concern to the national body. It came again as a direct result of growth and activity. The essential question was, should the CCB function as an organization with a paid chief executive, breaking with the long-held tradition that the CCB is a people's organization with its elected officials serving without compensation. Again, feelings were intense, the controversy raised as members and chapters debated and considered. Page 25. The outcome was, for those familiar with the organization, predictable. The membership chose to remain firm in its belief in the essential voluntary nature of the CCB and the need to prevent the organization from becoming simply another organization whose paid staff wields control of organizational policy. Again, a few persons chose to withdraw from the organization. A third organizational crisis has been experienced by the CCB. This crisis is not so much involved with the nature of the CCB, but rather with the viability of the national organization. It involves the relationship of state affiliates to the national administration of the NFB and the ability of the state NFB affiliates to select their own officers free of duress or coercion from the national president currently in office and others of national stature. The CCB had always held that the full and free participation of national officers in state conventions and similar activities was productive and to be encouraged. However, during 1976 and the years following, Californians' concerns began to mount about the nature and character of national interventions into state organizations, and particularly in California. Page 26. Commencing in the late 70s, the CCB found itself placed in an adversary role as regards the national administration, and chiefly the present president of the NFB. Editors note the reference is to NFB's former president, Kenneth Jernigan. During 1978, Marathon litigation began in a lawsuit titled the NFB versus the NFBC. It chiefly involved the terms and conditions of affiliation with the national body and the responsibilities of state affiliates to the national and the national organization to its state affiliates, with particular emphasis upon the obligations of the national body in any move to discipline or disaffiliate member chapters. Questions arose as to the degree of due process and fair hearing which must be afforded member chapters in any action against individuals or state affiliates, and the validity of actions taken against the CCB by the National Convention on advice of those seeking the expulsion of the California group from the national. Not only was expulsion the stated aim of those involved in national policy formulation, but vigorous efforts were mounted to wrest the state treasury and other property from the valid California organization. Page 27. In 1983, having won the right to retain our treasury and other property, our state organization agreed to change our name from National Federation of the Blind of California to California Council of the Blind, and we are now an independent organization. Editor's note. The CCB has since affiliated with the American Council of the Blind. The results of this controversy in terms of the organized blind of California, the CCB has remained firmly committed to its traditional and wholesome ideals of betterment for the blind and continues to strive actively to make its influence and impact felt on behalf of the blind. As in the past, a small group of persons unhappy with the decisions of the Council Convention have chosen to establish themselves as a separate body aligned with the National Federation's current thinking. Today, the California Council continues to work positively and productively on behalf of our fellow blind. Our membership seems more united than ever before in its determination to advance the welfare of the blind, despite any obstacle placed in the path of progress. Indeed, the ability of membership to deal with controversies and political disputes seems to have resulted in a more mature, sophisticated, and committed organization. And what of the future of the California Council of the Blind if it continues its deep commitment to the purpose of bringing security, equality, and opportunity to the blind boys and girls, men and women of California? The CCB will have an even more essential and exciting future than the 50 years of its past, extending well beyond the end of this century. The great dreams of visionaries like Dr. Newell Perry and Dr. Jacobus Tenbrecht are fast becoming the realities of today for California's blind, and the CCB continues to dream great dreams for the future.